Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Truma. So the Chizkuni on Parshas Truma is a little on the shorter side. So this will be a little bit of a shorter shiur. There's also a lot of the Parsha is a little bit on the technical side in general. There's a lot of technical Chizkunis. I'm not going to go into that so much. Okay, so we'll just start with the following. The Parsha begins with what Moshe is supposed to collect from the Bnei Yisrael. And then it goes on to talk about the building of the Mishkan. So the whole parsha is supposed to be talking about generally the building of the things needed to build the Mishkan. So you have the Zav, Tcheles, Nechoshes, all things they gathered, and then the actual building of the Mishkan and the Kalim. This is not a parsha about Avoda. So there's no thing here, gather for me a million animals for Karbonos. That's not here. Here we're talking about the building of the Mishkan. But that leaves us with a question. There's a pasuk that seems to stick out that doesn't fit, and that's pasuk vav. That Hashem says, "Gather shemen la maor, and besamim l'shemen amishcha l'kateres hasamin." What do you need? You know, you're supposed to gather oil for the menorah, and besamim for the keteres. What does that have to do with building the mishkan? That's not tikkuni habinyan. That's a Torah avoda. Besamim for the keteres. It doesn't say gather animals for carbon shlamim. So why are we talking about the oil for the menorah and the besamim for the ketores? So the Chizkuni has a beautiful pshat. He says that those things are also mitikune habinyan, because for a house, for a melech, for it to look nice, to be nice, there has to be light, and it has to smell nice. So it's mitikune habinyan. Lighting the menorah is not just an avoda, and bringing the keter is not just an avoda, it's also tikkuni habinyan. It's befitting for a hechal hamelech to smell nice and have light. So that's why this is listed here in our parsha. Okay. And then it says, Asu li mikdash, v'shachanti besocham. So what does the word mikdash mean? So the Chizkuni says it means a base moed, a place, a meeting place. A conference room, but like a meeting place. That's the meaning of mikdash. Like, it's a place where I think, as I understand it, it means kind of like the concept of kedushin, where they are available to each other, they are connected to each other. So a place of mikdash is a place where we'll connect, where we'll be available for each other. So as he says, it says, kadshu l'machar and no'adati livnei Yisrael. Anyway, that's how he understands the word mikdash means a base moed. Place together. Okay, then we have the description of the Aron. So the Aron is supposed to be, as we know, not completely gold. It has one box in there that's wood. What is the purpose of that? So the Chizkuni says, interestingly, that it's so it shouldn't be so heavy. Now we know the Aron carried itself, so he's not addressing that, but that's what he says. Hashem didn't want it to be completely gold because it would be too hard to carry. Everyone has to be Bakasefi, so they made it partially wood. That is to say, Hashem said to make it partially wood, so it shouldn't be that heavy. And then we have the Abar Tabosav Al Arba Pa'amosav. What's Al Arba Pa'amosav? So Rashi says the four sides, and that's where they had those rings where you'd put the bottom. He brings Yesh Mefarshim, which is the Ibn Ezra, that says that there were actually legs to the Aron. Pa'amosav means legs. That's a totally different picture than we're all used to thinking of. That's the Ibn Ezra's pshat, that the Chizkuni quotes as a Yesh Mefarshim, that there were legs to the Aron. Because it's not Minakavu that the Aron should be on the floor straight, so it had legs. Okay, then the Badim that go, the poles that go in the Aron to carry it, so those are never removed. Why not? Why is there a special law to not remove the poles of the Aron? So the Chizkuni says, because of its Kedusha, because it's high level of Kedusha, Hashem doesn't want anybody touching it, basically. So the pole should not be removed. Furthermore, there's no purpose in removing them, because they get put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and nobody goes in there anyway. So there's no, I mean, the Kohen Gadol goes in, you know, once a year kind of thing, but that's it. So it's not bothering anybody. It shouldn't be taken off for that reason as well. And they're also in there very tight, he says. And the reason they're in there tight is because when they're being carried and they go up a hill or down a mountain, so if it wasn't very tight, the Aron would start sliding forward and backwards. So it had to be on the very tight. So getting in and out would not be so doable either. Okay, then we had that it had Kruvim, on top of the kaparas. What are the kruvim? So the Cheskuni says it is an oaf, a picture of an oaf. We know Chazal tell us it's the face of a child, but he says it's oaf. I guess that's the Pashup shot, that it's an oaf, picture of an oaf. Okay, so we have here a problem. The Torah told us not to do this kind of thing, that you're not supposed to make a pesel tmuna. And here we go ahead and we make these golden images of kruvim, whatever it is. He says it's a min oaf. And we put that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It looks so bad. It looks like a avodah zarah. How could it possibly be that that's the thing we're supposed to do? So he says, kind of without saying, that because this is all the Torah, we follow Hashem wants, not what we think. And he says that this, the mitzvah of making kruvim versus not having, versus lo sa'aseh l'cha pesel v'chol tmuna, is kind of like, he compares it to like yibum, where there's an iser daraisa, an erva of eishes ach, right? Yibum means you marry if there's a couple and the one brother dies without children, so the wife has to do Yibum or Chalitza to the second brother, even though on a normal case, a woman and her brother-in-law are an Isser Erva. Yet the Torah tells us to do it. So that's what happens. And the, you know, Shatnez, on, you can't wear Shatnez, but by Tzitzis you can. Some cases, whatever, that's Asi Docha Los Asi. It's that kind of thing. The Docha here does not apply, but It's like Yibum. The Torah told us to do it. So even though the Torah told us normally not to do A, like Eishasach, by Yibum you're supposed to do it, so to here, normally not supposed to make an idol with what looks like an idol with a picture of whatever it is on top. Here the Torah is telling us to do it. But the Torah did go out of its way to protect us a little bit, and that's why the Kruvim face each other. If they were made for Avodah Zarah, they'd be facing you. Or at least one of them would be facing you, so it would be meant to look like it's a thing you should be in awe of and bow down to or whatever. Here they face each other, so it's clearer that they're not made for Avodah Zarah. Okay, then we have the Shulchan, and again, there's a whole long technical discussion over here about the Shulchan, but just one point about the Lechem Apanim, why are they called Lechem Apanim? So he just brings, you know, we know what Rashi says, that in the Chumash that it had Panim. Rashi elsewhere in Menachos says that they were called Lechem HaPanim because they were Lefanai Tamid. That's the Lashon of Panim, because they were Lefanai Tamid. Okay, just in the discussion of the menorah, it mentions that it has those three cups on each arm of the menorah. So the way he describes it is it's there for overflow. That is, you fill up the menorah, the cup of the menorah, and when it overflows, it could flow into cup one, and when that cup overflows, it flows into cup two, and then into cup three, and then somehow, I don't know how this would work, when it overflows, even cup three, it goes down to the cup in the menorah itself, in the main thing. So I don't know if this meant that this was ever happened to practice, that it overflowed, and it was to catch it. But anyway, that's what he says. That was the purpose. It was to catch the overflow. And there were seven candles, that is connected the Shiva Yemei HaShavua, 7 days of the week, and the seven mazalos. Unfortunately, it doesn't explain what the significance of that is. That's what he said. The seven are supposed to be connected the 7 days of the week, and the seven mazalos. Just as an aside, it's obviously there, if it's connected, you know, the Shiva mazalos include the moon. It would just be an unusual thing, you know, the Havdil, they used to worship the moon and some of the mazalos by lighting candles to them or offering them things. It sounds similar to that. Sounds similar to that other Avodah Zarah thing that we're not doing for Avodah Zarah. The famous birthday cake. The birthday cake was also some ancient celebration of the moon. Birthday cakes were circular, and you put they had a candle to mimic the light of the moon. Anyway, it just comes out the menorah is connected those seven Mazalos, one of which happens to be the moon. But it's a totally different idea. But anyway, but the Chizkuni does not here explain what it does that we light the menorah connected to seven Mazalos. But that is what he says, they're connected. And then we have the Atzei Shittim we talk about, that the Mishkan was made from these Atzei Shittim, and he just brings the Medrash that the Torah is teaching you by the fact you're supposed to use Atzei Shittim, which do not have any fruit, that the Torah is teaching you Derech Eretz, that if you're making a binyan, use woods that don't have a pri, meaning don't waste, don't cut down a tree, and don't tell that to the olive wood store. You shouldn't cut down a tree for its wood when it makes fruit. Rather use if you're making a building where you're going to need a lot of wood, use a tree that doesn't give off fruit. Okay, then we have the placement of the kelim. You put the shulchan and the menorah is nochach ha-shulchan. The menorah is next to the shulchan. So he says that's similar to what it says in Bahaloscha. It says, El mul p'nei ha-menorah ye'iru shivas ha-neiros. Got that? How that's similar? Again, it's how do we understand that? Most of us would explain, if you asked, what does that mean? Amol pnei ha-menorah yiru shivas ha-neiros. We understand that to mean that the lights face the center menorah, right? The center bar of the menorah. So he says, Amol pnei ha-menorah yiru shivas ha-neiros means, Amol means the thing that's opposite them. It's to give light to the shulchan. Got that? Amol pnei ha-menorah yiru shivas ha-neiros. The menorah gives off light to the thing that is mul, like from this week's parsha, v'sa menorah nochach ha-shulchan. The shulchan is opposite it, so the menorah is there to give off light to the shulchan. So we know what he said, those seven mazalos, what they represent, and that's supposed to give off light to the shulchan. I'm not going to give pshatim because the Chizkuni didn't say anything. But I can just tell you the shulchan is supposed to represent your parnasa. Generally, the menorah represents represents Torah, and the Torah is supposed to shine, give its light, according to the Chizkuni, on the Shulchan, which should mean the Torah is supposed to give its shine light onto your parnasa, maybe teach you how to do it or how to act. The menorah is supposed to give light onto that. Again, I don't know exactly what it has to do with the 7 days of the week or the mazalos, but either way, at least that much you have. That the menorah is, anyway, the Chizkuni is definitely saying that the menorah is supposed to specifically be giving light onto the shulchan. Again, there are other things here in the Chizkuni, but most of them are of a pretty technical nature, so I think we'll just stop here.